When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
どこいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ。どこにいるのかな。見えない。
こんなところ。
I miss you. How you doing, Internet? Today, Waypoint Radio has a special treat for you, right from PAX East 2018. We got to talk to Gordon Hayward, star forward from the Celtics, from the Boston Celtics, in case you are not a basketball person, who is also a major fan of League of Legends, started out playing some good StarCraft. So Joel from the site and Rob from the site were able to take a quick moment with him, interview him, talk to him about his gaming passions, about basketball, about all kinds of things, and that is going to start right now, live from PAX East with Gordon Hayward.
All right, so we're here at PAX East sitting down with Gordon Hayward of the Celtics, and he's about to go have a panel on StarCraft, of all things. Now, I think you're pretty well known as, like, a League of Legends guy. Like, if the NBA didn't work out, like, maybe Pro League would have been in your future. Didn't know that, like, StarCraft was your jam. So how far back did that go?
Yeah, so I was into StarCraft way before League of Legends, and actually started playing PC games probably when I was in end of senior year of high school, freshman year of college. Got into Brood War. At that point in time, I was, you know, mainly just playing a lot of the custom games like Tarpid D, Sunken D, some of those. And then when StarCraft II came out, I would play it. I was probably like rookie first year in Utah, and it was a way for me to hang out with my friends and play the game. And actually did a partnered with IGN and was at their tournament in Atlantic City. And at that point in time, StarCraft was, you know, the main room and really big, and League had like a side room that, you know, no one was really watching or anything. And one of my buddies kind of got me to play League and started playing it after that.
Yeah, I saw you said you started playing League because the crew that you're playing Halo with, like, moved over to League?
Yeah. I mean, League was, StarCraft was, like, by far the hardest game I'd ever played. If you played seriously, it was, you know, obviously really intense, and you had to focus the entire time. You're supposed to be constantly doing things. And it, to be honest, like, got stressful at times because you're trying to move up, and League was a little bit easier for me to like just hang out with friends and play, and not be as, like, you know, constantly worried about things.
So I'm curious, as a guy who like was into both games, because one of the things that a lot of old Brood War pros always said was that even they found like StarCraft II more stressful than Brood War. Like, Brood War was a harder game in some ways, but like also a little more maybe forgivingly paced. And I'm curious, like, I guess which game gave you like worse ladder anxiety, right? Like which game was more like raised your heart rate a little more?
Between Brood War and StarCraft or League?
StarCraft 2 and Brood War.
Yeah. StarCraft 2 and Brood War. So, I didn't play as much on the ladder in Brood War. I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So like when I played on the ladder for that, I just got crushed every time. So like I said, I'd stick to like custom games. I didn't really start doing the ladder until StarCraft 2, and then, you know, I'd watch streams and go on Team Liquid and try to watch everybody and just copy their builds. And at that point in time, it got really stressful.
Yeah, what was your main race?
Terran.
Okay. That was me too, just because like I played the campaign, and so I was like, yeah, I know the Terrans like the best. The problem is I think they were the hardest race.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. My buddy played Protoss, and I always said he was the easiest one to play.
It was all about Zergling Rush. That's about all I could do.
That's what you would do?
I thought I was really good at StarCraft 1, right? Because that was like Battle.net, dial-up, just you and a friend would kind of call each other and play. And then Brood War, I thought I was pretty good too. But StarCraft 2 came out, and I was like, I got this, and I went online. And that was like a really humble reckoning for me. Yeah. And like it actually like made me less interested in the game because I realized how bad I was for the first time once I got online.
Yeah, it was, like I said, man, I was pretty good at console games growing up, played them my whole life, played in local tournaments with my, you know, squad in Halo, and we were pretty good. And then when I switched to StarCraft, it was like, holy cow, like I'm playing all the time and I'm still average at the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things about, like when multiplayer started getting really easy, like when everyone is on broadband and suddenly you could just like load into a game at the drop of a hat. Like, I think when we were like kids and playing in our neighborhood or something, or playing over dial up with kids in our school, like you could, it was easier to think you were good, right? Because like, oh, I beat the campaign, or I can beat like Adam, you know, from across the street. Like, yeah, right. Exactly. Like, so yeah, I'm great at StarCraft. And then you go online and you're like, you're not even competent.
Right.
And that is, but like you work through that. Like me, I'm a guy who like, I learn I suck at something and I'm like, peace out.
Yeah.
Right. But you got through that.
So I mean, it was something very similar where, you know, it's when you're playing against local kids in your town and you're the best, it's one thing. But then when you're playing against people around the world, you know, and I was playing, like I said, when you're an NBA player, a lot of people don't realize, especially if you don't have a family, there's a lot of time, like free time that you have to do whatever you want. And for me, it wasn't going out or, you know, doing anything like out on the town. It was playing video games. So I had a lot of time to play StarCraft, and like, I'm still stuck in platinum, stuck in diamond. And like, I think one time I crept into masters, but other than that, it was just a grind every single day to try to get better, and very, very, very tough.
Speaking of a grind, how are you feeling? How are you doing? I saw you're running now. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm getting better each day. It's been, I can't believe it. You know, the season's almost over after being injured the very first game. But I'm running now, so it's, you know, the progress is being made. Next step would be able to run more than just a little jog, what I'm doing. And then, you know, after that, just cutting side to side, jumping, doing some things that are semi-explosive.
So lateral movements.
Lateral movements is the toughest. It's going to be the toughest part,
right?
Because that puts the most stress on your ankle. But I'll get there. Slowly.
So I saw recently you were playing more Overwatch. Mm-hmm. You're playing Fortnite.
Yes.
Which is kind of, we've covered recently really because it's taken over the conversation around video games, schools, teachers,
yeah,
et cetera. And it makes sense when Rob and I were talking about it. It's like, okay, it's like the Minecraft generation meets this battle royale mode. And it was free to play, and it was on console, and it's just like the perfect storm. Like, what are you super into right now?
Right now, definitely super into Fortnite. I was very heavily against it at first. I'm a very like competitive person, and I rarely play games that don't have like a ladder system or Elo or something like that. And so I was into Overwatch, and especially with Overwatch League that came out, like I was big time into that. And all my friends started playing Fortnite, and I kept just saying that's like for casual players and casual gamers, and I didn't want to be a part of it. And like you kind of said, it got to a point though where like everyone was playing it, and so I kind of had to like try it out and make the switch. And it's been fun. It's fun playing with friends. And
what's the trick though? Because like this is the problem we're having in the office. Like everybody got into super into PUBG, uh-huh. And like so everyone in the office, like they get it. They fundamentally understand like what the hell you do in a PUBG match. But like the moment, like with this crew of people, like I don't play either game. But the moment you introduce like, okay, but now you also build shit.
Yes.
Like everyone just like loses their ability to be remotely competent.
Yes.
Like so what's the mental leap? What's the thing that like you have to know going into Fortnite Battle Royale?
Well, I think like it's definitely more like the better player you are, the better build you are, not necessarily the better shot you have. Like I played Destiny a lot, Destiny 2, and like I love that game, just kind of disappointed with the way some of the decisions that Bungie made. But
did you like the Grimoire?
Not too much. No.
All right.
Not too much.
But you say were you playing Trials?
Yeah, I was playing, like, that was my favorite part of the game. And, like, I had, like, so my point of saying that was, like, I'm a pretty good shot. But then when you go into Fortnite, that doesn't always matter. Like, it's just who is building the best, and then they can get, like, position themselves to get the best shot available. And, I love that about the game, though, because it really, you know, makes there be a high skill gap. And so you have to be highly skilled to be able to win in that game.
Did you get into Battlegrounds before Fortnite at all?
I played it a couple times, but did not get super into it.
Have you seen Ben Simmons and Karl Anthony Towns getting each other in trouble?
I have. I've seen that on Battlegrounds. Yeah, I've seen it. That's actually pretty funny that he He said something like, "Are you have to go to bed?" And he playing.
Who are you playing Hawks tomorrow? Yeah. He said the Hawks. He said you got plenty of time.
And he had like 56 the next night or something like that.
So a lot I've seen. Okay, so Clay Thompson at the end of this, my fiance's family is from SF. They've been season ticket holders forever, and so we fell into the Warriors big. At the end of the like postseason our post game interview the other night, he said. She was like, "What are you going to do this weekend?" And he was like, "Same thing I do every weekend, play video games, practice some basketball." And she said, "What are you better at?" And Clay Thompson said, "Oh, I'm better at video games." And it's like, so he's super into Call of Duty, like mm-hmm. Ben Simmons, Karl Anthony Towns. I was actually looking up old gamer tags when you tweeted your gamer tag, like 2012.
Yeah.
But like at the time, there were like four or five people on the Jazz that were playing online.
Yeah.
So is this something that you do you play with other players? Do you see this a lot?
Yeah, this is actually a good question because I get asked this all the time, like who else plays video games that are, you know, our teammates. And I would say when I came into the league, like it wasn't nearly as many people. I was one of the youngest ones. I was 20 years old. Everyone else had families. They were older. Not many of them played. I'd play with a couple of the rookies. We'd play a lot of FIFA on the plane and different games like that. But there were hardly any players in the NBA that play on PC. Like, I can't tell you another player. There may be like one other player that played StarCraft at the time. There's not very many players I know that play League of Legends. I think now that Fortnite is like cross-console, there's like a lot of people play it. Because I think for whatever reason, in my experiences, basketball players are strictly like console gamers. Like, not very many of them play on the PC. So they're playing either FIFA or 2K or Madden, Call of Duty, games that you can play on the console. And so to then fast forward 8 years, like when people ask me this question now, like everybody on the team pretty much plays video games. It's just a lot of them play console games.
Is this starting to change at all though? Like, cause now they're so much more hooked into Twitch than ever before, right? Like,
right.
Which still has a lot of PC gaming on it. Like, is that culture starting to change where younger players are maybe starting to skew a little more in the PC direction, or is it still pretty console centric?
I have not seen it switch yet. Does Karl Anthony play on PC, or does he play?
I think they have those. He's not playing on Xbox because PUBG on Xbox is really bad right now.
He could just be like playing with the controller.
But they have those portable stream, like it's like a PC and a stream all in one thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're like streaming as they travel, you know, because like you see it's like a hotel room, see it's his house, it's whatever. So it's like someone must have like hooked up this on the go thing. But it's got to be a PC because the graphics are night and day better than Xbox.
So you mentioned one thing though. You're talking about that you're being a really competitive person, and I am curious. Like, were video games an effective substitution for you this season? A placebo, as it were? Because like the first game out, that happens. In addition to the injury being just a shitty thing to have to deal with, like you're a competitive guy. You're a pro athlete, and suddenly you know you're watching from the sidelines for a season. Did some of that competitive spirit like get funneled into games? Was that a good outlet for it, or is it a totally different thing for you and your headspace?
No, that's very true. I've always used video game as another outlet for competition, and especially if I'm injured and not able to play, it gets my juices going a little bit. Nothing can compare to playing in a basketball game when it comes down to the wire, but for sure, competing in video games, a lot of my rehab, there's competitions that we do just to kind of, keep me going, keep me motivated. But video games has been that for me since the beginning. That's why I think I love it so much.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What, like, I'm curious, when does it stop being just like you're just playing around a video game and you're getting serious, right? Like, what, like, does it depend on the game? Does it depend on who you're playing with? Like, what puts you into like pro gamer mode?
Yeah, I think it's like So I've had a group of friends that I've always played with since high school. And I think if like our group of friends is playing that game, it's like, which one of us is going to be the best? That like, that really gets me like, okay, I have to beat my friend. Like I can't let him be better than me, you know? So
are they good, or is it still kind of the kid down, or is the kid down the street? And like, you're still,
some
the
of them
fish.
Claim to be good, but you know, the other thing is we're all getting older, and like I have a wife and two kids. And so we can't focus as much. Like I didn't go to like any of the school dances or anything. Like we were all just playing video games. And so it was a lot easier back then to compete. But, you know, that some of them, they got me into Fortnite. So they, I don't know if I can say they're better than me, but, they're ahead of the curve on that game. But it's, I think I'm definitely still the best gamer out of the group.
Yeah.
So
you've done a good bit, for Players Tribune and throughout, I mean, I read a post from like 2012 or something on your site where you were talking about your approach to video games, mm-hmm. And almost like explaining video games to general population, like the case for gaming.
Yeah.
I was also really curious. So in reading more and like watching you play, you came up thinking that you would probably be a guard.
Yeah.
And then you shot up, right, to 6'8".
Correct.
And no one in your family is that tall.
My parents are both 5'10", so okay. My mom is a little tall for a girl, but...
So you came into basketball with this, like, set of guard skills, and then essentially ended up, you know, being a forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're explaining video games to basketball and everyone, if you were actually, like, making a comparison to what works in Overwatch, and I mean, your coach, I think, is one of the, like, I think Brad Stevens would be an incredible League of Legends or Overwatch coach, because what he does is get people to work together, mm-hmm. like better than anyone else. But how would you actually explain your role on the basketball court to people that maybe don't follow basketball as well and are in the video game world?
Like how would I explain what a small forward does?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, in basketball, there's five positions. The point guard is usually the person that dribbles the ball up the court and kind of sets up the offense. A shooting guard is called a shooting guard because back in the day, they were the one that shot a lot of the shots. The shooting guard is usually, one of the better shooters on the team. Usually in basketball, you have positions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1 is a point guard. 2 would be a shooting guard. 3 is a small forward, which is kind of what I am. I'm a mix between a 2 and a 3. It really just depends on your team and the personnel that you have on your team. But a small forward is typically bigger than the shooting guard, but does a lot of similar things. They can shoot. They can pass. They can dribble. They can get to the basket. And then the four is a power forward. That position has changed over the years. Probably been the position that's changed the most over the years, just based on kind of like the meta of the basketball game. The meta that we're in right now would be the four is like a stretch four, almost like an extension of the three. So that'd be like a Draymond Green, somebody that's not necessarily a post player, but can be out on the perimeter and can guard big guys. So they're bigger than a small forward, but can, you know, do some similar things. I mean, the old meta would have been like Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum with the Lakers. Pau Gasol is a 7-footer. It's essentially two almost centers. Dirk Nowitzki, kind of like old meta. He shoots too, so he's like a hybrid. But that's the power forward. And then you have the center, which is the 5. That's usually the biggest guy on the team. Tallest guy on the team. His role is to roll to the rim, dunk everything that's around the rim, block shots, get rebounds. And you know, nowadays they're asking fives to step out, and Karl Anthony Towns is a 5, a center, and he shoots threes. So the game's always changing. I think just like in video games, the meta always changes,
right?
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and you drew some comparisons to like League of Legends early on, right? It was mm-hmm. a team of 5 playing different roles, different lanes. Do you think that kind of is what attracted you to League of Legends? Like why you found it really interesting?
Yeah, I think League was really cool because you have individual matchups. I was a top lane guy and top mid and sometimes AD carry, but mostly top and mid. And I think what drew me to it was I liked the individual matchup aspect of it, where you're kind of fighting against one guy, but it's a team game. So, you know, you can't just focus on that lane the whole time. You got to, you know, sometimes come down and help mid or rotate to different spots and be wary of their jungler because he might come out and get you. And I think similar things are what happens in basketball. Like, a lot of times you have a matchup that you're worried about. But at the end of the day, it's not just you versus him. It's you versus their team, your team versus their team, which is pretty cool.
I'm curious, like, one of the things that's always happening in esports is that games keep getting patched, they keep changing, they keep rolling out new units and new characters, so, like, they keep mixing up what's there. But basketball doesn't really necessarily work that way. And so, like, arguably maybe, like, basketball is liable to be a solved game strategically in some way that, like, an esport kind of by design can't be. But I'm curious, like, something you see in esports a lot of times is metas shift and then old metas just kind of get forgotten or, like, nobody tries them anymore. Maybe they're ineffective or maybe they're just nobody's practicing with them anymore because they're so kind of old, out of date and dusty.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, when you look at the game of basketball as it evolves, how much of this is just, like, the level of, like, strategy and coaching has changed in basketball, the use of, like, statistical analysis has changed the way the game is played, versus how much of it is just being driven by shifts in the meta and people chasing what's successful lately?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think with the technology that we have, as far as looking at stats, looking at where players are out on the floor, where they're more successful, if you take one dribble right and shoot versus taking one dribble left and shoot, if you shoot in the paint versus if you just shoot only threes, it can kind of give you some guidelines as to what's better than other things, and then you can kind of practice those things. But I think also just more and more players are more skilled than they ever were. Taller players are more skilled, and I think some of that has to do with YouTube, with guys being able to watch videos and kind of emulate the best from a young age. And so it is interesting, though, that you brought up, like, video games can change and things can get buffed or nerfed or and completely take things out of the game. But basketball players, I mean, basketball, I guess the players can kind of change. They never really changed the rules too much. But I guess they did. They added the 3-point line way back in the day. They've added, you know, defensive 3 seconds, so got, you know, teams can't just play zone. So those are, I guess, little things. But
yeah, and watching you obviously, like, written about pushing through your injury and the road to recovery, and you know, you've had this spirit even, like, really early on of, like, optimism and, like, what the next step is. And something I saw you write recently, which I was like, oh, that's really interesting, is you said how much your shot has improved, right? And because you're not able to shoot with, you know, the form that you were shooting with before, and you've been working on dribbles, you know, like drills, and your how do you think that now when you get back to 100% and you have this shot that you can make three sitting down, like, how do you think that's going to affect your game?
Well, it's definitely made my... made my shot more compact, quicker, because I wasn't able to use my legs this past 6 months, and so I've had to only use upper body, and that's been one of my biggest things, is trying to turn some of the negatives into a positive, focus on things that I can control, try to get better at things that I wasn't, you know, as great at, and I've had a lot of time to do that, so hopefully it'll translate.
To that, like, the mental aspect of the recovery, like, so I was a crappy high school athlete. Like, I was, like, you know, I was going to be a varsity tackle my senior year of football, but, like, that was about as good as I was going to get. But I shred my knee, like, in practice before the season starts. But the thing that, like, stuck with me and still does to an extent is, like, the mental aspect of it, right? Like, it took ages for me to just trust that, like, my body was going to behave and do what I told it to do, because, like, everything felt different, and I was, like, always kind of thinking about, like, what had happened in the back of my mind.
Yep.
I'm curious, like, to what degree did video games, like, help put, like, get you past that experience, like, keep you from dwelling on it? Is it, you know, is that something that can even mitigate, or is that something that you just gotta battle through on your own?
I think more than anything, experiences help you through that. This is actually the first time I've done an injury like this, so I don't have experiences to fall back on. But I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges that I have been through, that I'm going to have to continue to go through, and when I come back and I actually do end up start playing, that I'll have to fight through. Because like you said, it's even running the other day for me just felt awkward, and you have to learn to trust yourself again and trust your body. And my bone is completely healed. There's nothing wrong with it right now, but when I run on it, it doesn't feel like that at all. And it's just, I've been off of it for so long. I just got to work my way back through it. And, the mental part and the mental side of it is very difficult. And, I mean, I think video games for me has been, a way to get my mind off of the injury, get my mind off of feeling down and, depressed about it, you know, being able to go online and hang out with friends. 'Cause it's almost like you're hanging out with people when you're playing, and have that outlet for competition too. It's been really helpful for me.
I think we'll leave it there. Gordon, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Before
yeah, thanks guys.
Thank you. Yeah, Rob and I are sharing a mic this whole time, so awkward silence between us. Thanks so much, and good luck on the panel.
Thanks guys.
All right.
Of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.